bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam.
All right, I just changed my underpants. I like to do it in between shows.
That's awkward.
We were just talking about
yes,
it
we
before.
Were. Yeah, but you got to, you know, you got to find the right place and time.
I keep my drawers in my drawers.
Wendy, Vince Moranto, who you have
Top
referred
that,
to,
Vince.
You have referred to Vince. I don't know if you heard this during the regular show. Wendy called you, and I quote, a local treasure, and I can't quibble with that.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I'm hard to find. That's what makes me the treasure.
Right. That's so true. That's so true.
How are you, Vince Moranto?
I'm so fine. Let me just start this off by saying it's so cool to follow Orion because he actually spoke at my St. Vider 1975 graduation. He was the speaker.
Do you remember what he said that made you realize I have to also go into show business?
No. Well, it would have been great if I would have come up with something just now.
I put you on the spot, Vince, and you're a local treasure, but that wasn't fair to do to you or any local treasure.
You don't treat a treasure like
no.
that.
No. No, that's true.
All right, so you guys did stand-up together, correct?
Yes.
I was trying to think of this. Where was the first place we met? Where did you start? Did you start at the cottage or the womb?
No. The first place you and I worked together was at a club called Freddy's. And it was a pizza place and a VFW hall, but they also did stand-up comedy. That's where you and I worked together for the first time. And do you remember who hosted those shows, Vince?
Was it a Debbie Ward room?
It was a Debbie Ward run room.
What town was this in?
It was up north.
Palatine?
Like, oh, okay.
Was it Palatine? Right?
Maybe a little further north, but yeah, somewhere up around there.
The MC was a man who billed himself. He called himself Mr. Vegas, and he wore a tuxedo and had very, very, very bright teeth and bright hair, and he treated the show as though it was going on somewhere in Las Vegas.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
That's, Mr. Vegas.
That's who it was, Mr. Vegas?
Mr. Vegas was the host of the show, and sometimes he would give you advice, Vegas-y advice, like you got to face the audience. Oh, all right.
Yeah, that was always good.
All right. If you need me to face
wow,
the audience.
Wow, this club had pizza, Mr. Vegas, a yeah. VFW hall, and
you
what
can,
else? What, comedy.
You can see where the world of stand-up comedy would appeal to guys like Vince and myself, because, like you said, everything was there. Everything.
Sure. What more do you need?
Now, Vince, did you get into comedy before Bill, or Bill, you were before him?
Vince was before me.
Yeah, I started in, that's what started this whole yeah. thing of all these... Everything that I'm doing, I realized that August 26, 1982 was the first time I went up on stage at the Comedy Cottage, which would make this my 37th anniversary. And hey, you don't let a 37
no,
go
by. That's a
milestone.
That's a milestone.
Right?
But you know, it's
you
cool.
Know, 35, 40, those are dumb numbers. 37.
Nice round number. Right.
Yeah.
The beauty of your posts, Vince, and for people who don't know, Vince has, on his Facebook page, he's been posting for the last couple of weeks, little remembrances of his career, and it really is a beautiful time capsule of a simpler, more gentle time in the world of comedy.
Not only that, it's really bringing a lot of comics out of the... What's so funny, Bill, I was only going to do it up until the 26th.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm only up to 1986 now. I got decades to go. And I could spend five more posts just on 1986. So I'm just going to keep doing this till I run out of them because it's bringing a lot of other comics and they tell stories and it reminds me of more stories. So it's really fun.
And these stories, until now on your Facebook page, were never written down. You didn't have them banked somewhere. These are just in your head. They're floating around in your head, right?
Yeah. What I do is I have a thing. Where I took all my calendars. That was one of the posts I took on my calendars, and I wrote the first time I went through them, the first time I worked every room. And I have those as kind of a guideline that I use. But I don't even have them. I just start like today, I haven't done yet. But because I mentioned that I got started at Zany's yesterday in 86 and the people that I've met in the work, that spurred on two other ones. The one today I'm going to do is all the Zany's comedy clubs throughout the years that I work. Then the next one's going to be about all the different comedians I've worked at Zany's throughout the years. So, I mean, one spurs on like three or four other ones.
I love reading these. First of all, I like you a lot. I think you're funny. And I go
local
back.
Local treasure.
Well, he is.
He is a local treasure.
I grew up, I went to RB High School. I grew up in Brookfield. And in Lyons, right. Illinois, there was the Comedy Womb. And
sure.
I went to junior high with Carla Felicia, who was a stand-up comic
right.
at the time. And we would go to the Comedy Womb every Thursday night because that was open mic night. They would give you free pizza. Which was, Pizza Palace was this great place in Lyons. They had really good pizza. Mm-hmm. And I would go with Carla, and I would learn that you're not supposed to heckle people. I just felt like, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Sure.
So she told me never to do that again.
Yeah.
There were people there like Bill Hudson. That's a name sure. I remember. Bob Odenkirk, Jeff Garland. There were people that would just go in beautiful Lyons, Illinois.
Yeah. Yep.
It was such a great place. And then when I first met Vince, I worked at the Loop radio station, and I had tickets to go to an art gallery opening in Oak Brook, and Yoko Ono was going to be there mm-hmm. promoting all of John's new like little doodlings that
yeah.
he did.
Yeah.
And I said, Carla, do you want to go with me? And she's like, no, I'll take a pass, but I have this friend Vince who loves the Beatles, and I think that was our first and only date, and that's how we met each other. We drove to Oak Brook.
Wait, that was a date?
No. Well, no, a friendship date.
Oh.
I would say, no wonder I never go on dates. I go on them, I don't even know I'm on one.
But I didn't even know you, and we went to this, and we had a great time.
Yeah, we drank, if I recall, we each drank like 2 glasses of champagne
yeah.
and were blown away from stupid little champagne.
Wow.
Well, because Yoko Ono was in our presence.
Right.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool.
Vince, do you remember this about the Comedy Womb in Lyons? Underneath the Comedy Womb was this restaurant, and I remember Mark Schufelt, the guy who ran the Comedy Womb, said, you know, you're going to do your time. He said, but sometimes when you're working here, you'll have to help me break up a fight.
That
and
was
I
at
laughed.
Pizza Palace.
So what would happen is they would do wedding receptions, and this happened twice when I was there, Vince. I don't know if it ever happened when you were there, but twice during a show, he would get a call, and he would pick 4 or 5 guys, and we'd go downstairs and break up a fight at a wedding reception. Did that ever happen to you?
Did you get paid extra for that?
No, there was no extra pay for that.
No, I never had that. That's wow. I thought I've done it all. That's great.
You had to go down that rickety iron spiral staircase.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
I forgot.
I wrote about that in one of them. That the first time I went there, it's this old black metal staircase that you go up, and next to a brick wall, and it was all dark. And I said, walking up the first time, I'm like, wow, this is what a comedy club should be. Just dirty, dark, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Now, Vince.
And back.
Oh, go on.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Now, back then, too, I was thinking about this. Back then, too, you know, everybody smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
I can't believe when I was married at the time, my wife knew what room I left my sport coat in when she was walking down the stairs just from the smell of the cigarette.
Yeah. It was that bad. You wrote about Zanies, and you said a couple of interesting things, but most notably how uncomfortable you were with the room in the early days, that it took you several years to get comfortable in that room. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I still don't know. It was very intimidating, the fact that it was, no offense to the other clubs, but I mean, that was, well, it's been around for 40 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got some history. But that was like the A room. You know what I mean? Everything else was either showcases or one-nighters and occasional, you know, like 3 or 4 night rooms. But that was the boom room. And just, I don't know, just living in the suburbs my whole life. I mean, like I said in the post, I was actually intimidated by the drive. I would get off of 90 on North Avenue and my stomach would start getting all growly and everything. I mean, I just never did a lot of city stuff.
Do you think it's because, like, I don't know who you would go to see before you were a stand-up, but for me, like, when I was in college, whenever I would go to see Richard Lewis or Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno, it was at that club at Zanies on Wells, and when I started working there, the realization is, oh, this is real now. I'm working in rooms that the real guys work in.
Exactly. I saw Richard Lewis there, too. It's so funny. Everybody you mentioned, I went to downtown Zanies before I started comedy. To do a story you just reminded me of, I saw, now his name, escapes me. From Barney Miller.
Steve Landisberg? Steve Landisberg.
Yes, exactly. I saw Steve Landisberg at Harper College. This is before, like a year or so before I started.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so cool that he looked at his watch and goes, hey, you know what? If you want to ask me any questions, if you want me to do any bits that you've heard, if you want to share a story with me. And I thought, wow. At the time, I thought, wow, that was so cool. In retrospect, I look back. He had to do an hour and didn't have it. So, you know.
That was his shortcut.
Right. But as, you know, as somebody says, an audience member, like, wow, how cool is this guy? Look at it.
Vince, the first time I was lucky enough to headline at that Zanies, the Zanies on Wells, I got home and it's about 3:30 in the morning, and I'm getting out of my car at the same time my next door neighbor Tommy, who was a wedding DJ, was getting out of his car, and I'm dressed kind of like the way I always dress, a polo shirt and jeans. He's wearing a powder blue tuxedo because he just came from DJing. So he looks at me because it's 3:30 in the morning, and he just nods his head and he goes, "Show business. Why do we do it?" Well, for different reasons, I think.
Yeah, right.
Vince, we would have loved to have had you in the studio, but it's kind of a long haul to come down here today. And Friday traffic, the air and water show's going on.
I know. As I was telling Jasmine, I live in Woodstock now, and you guys are no stranger to that trip, having done it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have had him on then. That would have worked out perfectly. Timing is nothing
stupid
in this business.
And I was gonna surprise you guys and stop by, but then I got busy, and then I never got around to it.
That's all right.
Then you just thought about it again and said, nah.
I'm not going to do it.
My son Michael and I watched Mike and Molly all the time, and I'm telling you, he's so enamored with the story that there's a character named Vince Maranto, and I said, that's named after a real guy, but that's not him. He loves that, so he never listens to our show, Bill, but because Vince is on, he's listening today.
Hey, if you know a treasure's going to be on.
Yeah, local treasure's on, I'm there.
It just was so funny to hear the first episode I watched of Mike and Molly and to hear, yeah, and this is Vince Maranto. We all chuckled.
It's so funny because when Mark wrote the character, he wanted somebody with a strong Chicago Italian name like Vincent Maranto. That's how it was written. And everybody kept throwing names out. He's like, no, I don't like that. They got all the way up to the taping, and they're like, what are we going to do? And Carla, your ex-roommate, was one of the writers at the time. And Mark Gross, another guy that I knew, was one of the writers. And they were like, yeah, just use Vince's name. He'll get a kick out of it.
That's
awesome.
And
it was only supposed to be like a one- or two-episode character, but the guy ended up being on the show the entire time.
Yeah.
And didn't your dad get an even bigger charge than you out of it? Because your dad's also named Vince Maranto. That must have been a thrill for him.
Yeah, he's the real Vince Maranto. But you want to hear something weird that I found out later?
Huh.
If you watch the very first episode of Seinfeld,
yeah,
his neighbor is named Kessler, not Kramer.
Really?
And I found out why, because the real Kramer and the Seinfeld people had not come to a monetary term to be able to use his name. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can get paid for them using your name? Why didn't anybody tell me that?
That was a guy named Kenny Kramer, right, who was a friend of Jerry's.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Larry David, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Both of them, yeah, right.
It was a different time back then.
Right.
You could get paid for your name being on.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, if you ever see one of the, I think it's it might even be the pilot. His name is Kessler, and there's also an episode later on where they make mention of that, where Kramer says something, and Jerry goes, "Weren't you Kessler back then?"
Oh, that's
funny. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's funny that they referenced it. In writing these posts, Vince, where you're going back 25 years and 30 years and 35 years, does it shock you that that was that long ago when you're writing this stuff? Don't you go, that couldn't have been 35 years ago. That was yesterday.
Well, what amazes me is when I started doing comedy, I was the same age that my son is now.
Oh.
And that doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
Well, like the Mike Toomey one, Toomey was just out of high school. Toomey was a teenager when I first met him.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you look at that, did you see that picture? Because I love that picture.
Oh, of Mike with the really full curly hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wendy, did you see that?
Is this of you guys together?
Yeah.
I did see that. That's
yeah. scroll back and look at that one because he looks like he's in high school.
I love following your memories. It's been really a pleasure. I'm not in stand-up comedy, so just as an outsider, it's still really fascinating to read and to relive these moments. So will you come and see us sometime all the way from Woodstock? I mean, we'd love to have you in sometime.
Yeah, sometime when it's not a crazy Friday. Hey, can I plug a couple shows?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, this weekend I'm going to be at the Kenosha Comedy Club. Bill, you want to guess where that's at?
Kenosha, Wisconsin, I believe.
Very good, very good. Yep. I'm going to be at the Kenosha Comedy Club tonight, 8 o'clock, tomorrow 7 and 9. And coming up on Wednesday, the 21st,
yes,
I'll be headlining at Rosemont Zanies. That's 8 o'clock Wednesday the 21st.
I got to come see you again. You're such a local treasure, and I haven't seen your stand-up in a very long time. If you bring me
really quick with that.
Yeah.
If you use the promo code BEACHCHAIRS,
yes,
on either on the website or calling in person, you'll get tickets for $5 for that night.
Use the code BEACHCHAIRS.
Yes.
Are you making this up?
No. It's a bit that I do that people really, really enjoy and remember. Yeah.
Would you bring me some cheese curds from Kenosha?
Do you want to hear it just real quick?
Yeah, give us your beach chairs, bud. Absolutely.
Okay.
Vince, you're a local treasure. You don't have to ask Wendy my permission. You're a local treasure.
Anyway, I do think I go. When they give the temperature in Chicago, they have to give it at 137 different locations, like 35 in 35 at O'Hara, 35 in Gary, 35 in Wheelway, 35 in 36 in Joliet. Like, oh, my God, 36 in Joliet. Back up the car. We're going to Joliet. Get the beach chairs. Get the beach chairs. So that people, for some reason,
they love that.
The way I dance, the way I do, it's the gestures that I do. I realize that makes it funny.
It's still funny.
Vince, the one thing you told me once, well, I had you on the night show and you told me this, and I think about this all the time during hockey season, that there's a very specific key to giving hockey players nicknames. Do you remember this?
Yeah, if they have a one-syllable name like Taves or Kane,
yeah,
you make it two syllables like Kaner or Taser.
Yeah.
But if you have a two-syllable name like Seabrook, you cut it down to one syllable and make it Seab.
That's how you name hockey players with nicknames. It's right. So easy.
Right.
You see why you're such a local treasure, Vince?
That's why. If you said nothing else, Vince, if you said nothing else, that would make you a local treasure.
Good to talk to you again, and where people can follow you on Facebook. Read some of these memories. They're really great. Love the pictures. Love Mike Toomey's hair.
Who doesn't?
Thank you, Vince.
Maybe I'll do a whole post on Toomey's hair. All right, guys. Hey, thank you so much, and yes, I'll definitely come down there.
All right, cool. We'd love to see you. Vince Moretto, everybody.
Thank you, Vince.
Local treasure.
Well, come on, he is.
He's a local treasure.
Technically, you are, too.
Nah.
I'll take it away if you don't be nice.
Don't.
I have the power to do that.
That's my whole resume. That's all it says. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon will stop by and give you some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Kim. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday. This is the bonus hour. You know what I didn't say to Vince? Because he's already a local treasure. You don't upgrade. Well, I guess he could be a national treasure, an international treasure, but that's not in Vince's cards. He just wants to be a local treasure. You know, he was really good at doing something that some comics try to do, but he was just great at it, is he would watch you when you would work. Like if I was on stage, he'd watch the show. And then at the end, he'd go, hey, I thought of a couple of lines. Like when you say this about this, try saying this or add this to it. He always was very helpful with whatever you already had, trying to make it better and longer.
Okay.
A lot of guys can't do that.
Maybe I'm mean, but if somebody said that other than you, because I work with you every day and I trust you.
Yeah.
But if I had done something and at the end of the show, someone other than you would come up to me and go, here, this would have worked better if you did it this way, or here's an idea, that would offend me.
Well,
like, I thank you, but I got it.
It was always done, especially with him and others, not just him, but it was always done with, I like what you do, respect what you do, and here's just a couple of suggestions you might think about. It was never.
But who asked for the suggestions?
You'd never ask.
But some
never
people
ask.
Know that you can take it from. I know that, you know, when I was trying to get into this business, if it weren't for people giving me constructive criticism and helping me, I would not be sitting here today.
I'm sure of it.
So, I mean, if you trust him as a mentor.
Absolutely.
Then I think you can take constructive criticism from people. And I think other people, you're like, leave me alone.
Well, he was a guy, he had been doing it 2 or 3 years longer than me. And
oh, then that makes him an old pro.
Well, I respected the fact. And I have to say, I would sometimes take his advice and sometimes not.
Yeah.
And it would hit somewhere around 50-50. Sometimes he was right. That was a better ending or closing or something. But I never minded when guys did that. You know, there were some guys where their mindset and mine were so different that I knew getting any kind of assistance from them probably wasn't going to work out. But he was one of the guys that I would listen to and go, oh, yeah, I'll try that and see what happens.
You know, I try to help younger people in our newsroom, and I always preface it to say, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm only telling you because I love you and I want you to succeed. I'm not being critical.
Right.
I'm not trying to come down on you just for no reason.
That's the perfect thing to say.
You know?
But I'm just saying, in a room of a lot of egos, which is what's happening when a stand-up, you know, you're not part of a troupe, you're doing your own thing.
Sure.
I think I know Vince, so I know he meant it in a great way.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like, what if Kevin Hart came up to you and said, here's,
I knew she was,
hey, man, this is how I do it, you know? I mean, I just think that's kind of none of their business.
But you had a relationship prior to him starting to.
Yeah, I already knew him. But actually, him doing that, because I already knew him and liked him, but him doing that made me like him more, because I went, wow, this is a guy, he doesn't have
to
sit and watch me.
Yeah.
He could be out doing anything, but he's watching, he's caring, and he's trying to help. I mean, there was never really for the better comics, it was never a competition. You wanted everybody to do well. There were some guys that didn't subscribe to that theory. There were a couple of guys, and their whole goal was, I don't care how anybody else does, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but Vince was the headliner, right? So, not back then.
In those days, I would have been either the opener or the MC. He was the middle act, and then there was another headliner.
Okay. So was there, does that mean that he was kind of, I don't want to say ahead of you, but
he was
like,
outranking me?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So. He was. There's no question. The shows are almost always set up in that format, where there's a host / MC who does 15 minutes, a middle act that does a half hour, and a closer that does 45 or an hour. So it always is, it's
right.
Structured
so
that
if
way.
You're the headliner and then the MC's kind of giving you advice, then you're going to
be awful.
What?
Right.
Right? So for him, because he was kind of outranking, you had a little more.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I have to know, when you started comedy, what made you want to be a stand-up comic? You were going to Columbia College, you graduated, you were going to be a director, right? A film
screenwriter.
Student, a screenwriter.
Yeah.
And then you did some acting on The Magic Door, the college years.
Yes.
You were also in Major League and Major League 2.
Yes.
And the television Untouchables.
Yeah.
And then what just all of a sudden, like, you know what, I'm going to try stand-up? Because I'm telling you, Bill, you were really, really good.
Oh,
I was not familiar with your stand-up when I started working with you.
Yeah.
I knew you were, this guy's a stand-up comic. He's funny. It's I'll figure it out for myself. You were really funny.
Oh, thank you.
But I saw you do stand-up. You had kind of quit by then.
Right.
Or was starting to quit.
Yeah.
And I saw him. He's so funny, and he didn't have
still
to work
funny.
Blue. Oh, but I mean, and obviously every day, one of the funniest people I've ever met. I feel like Bill's died.
I wish... This is even nicer than being a local treasure.
Really? I mean, you're the funniest partner I've ever worked
thank
with.
You.
I'll give you that much. But seeing his stand-up, I was surprised because it's different. Stand-up and radio are two different things. I couldn't believe how good you were and how you don't really want to do it again. But what made you all of a sudden just go, you know what, I'm going to give stand-up a whirl?
Jeff Garlin, because the improv group I was in, there was 10 of us, and then there was a person who kind of booked, did all of our bookings and stuff, so kind of 11 of us. So when we would get paid after a job, we would split that money 11 ways.
Oh, man.
There wasn't much money
at
the end.
Would you get like $4 each?
Honestly, I think our starting price
less
for the
Terry
group...
Less than Terry gives you, wasn't it?
Yes. It was hard to believe, but yeah. So... Like, we would be booked into shows, and you go, wow, we're working this night, and this night. But then at the end of the week, I had $110 or something, and it wasn't. So Jeff Garland just said, hey, you know, if you do stand up, you keep all the money. You don't split it with anybody. And I went, oh, well, yeah, let me try that. And it was for monetary. I know that sounds awful, but it was because of the money end of it, where you just go, I get to keep all the money as opposed to 1/11th of the money.
My son Michael's a musician. He's done a lot of solo stuff, and he just got a band together. They're going to be playing at Little Italy Fest on Taylor Street tomorrow at 3:30. I cannot wait. They'll probably be the only band not playing a Sinatra song.
Yeah.
But it's
trying. They should learn Summer Wind just to be safe.
I told him he should learn Funiculi Funicula just because, no, you know.
That's perfect.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But it's you know, just getting this band together, it's like trying to work out practice and doing things together. And then when you get paid, you have to split it three ways. That's exactly what I said to him. Yeah. If you're a solo act,
you get to keep it.
And you can decide when you want to rehearse, yes. You know.
Yes.
But it's more fun with more people. And that's where I feel you doing stand-up, honestly, you were so good, but isn't it more fun to be with other people doing things?
Yeah, there's no question about it, because you're sharing the success, yep, with other people. And to some extent with a stand, when you're doing stand-up and there's three people on the bill, if the show goes well, but there's the camaraderie is very different because you're with new people every week. With the improv group, it was the same people all the time, so yeah, it was an adjustment, but
it's nice to have someone to bounce something off
always
of.
Yeah. All right, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but twice during the show, because of the air and water show,
yes,
there are planes flying maneuvers.
Why aren't
you telling me? I'm just bringing it up because, Kim, this is the first year you've lived in the city.
I know.
So were you getting reverberation yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we could hear it when I was getting dressed. And by the time I came out of the bathroom to see it, they were gone.
Yeah.
But I have a view of the... I can see the lake from my house, so I haven't been at home, though, yet, yeah, to see them. So.
Are you going
to
watch over the weekend?
I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be out of town.
No.
I'm so bummed.
Can I stay?
Next year, I'll have a party.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yesterday, when we were on the air, there was nothing going on. We saw a Coast Guard helicopter flying over the Chicago River in between buildings, which was kind of weird.
That was very cool.
But then when I was going home yesterday, it's so amazing to me that you hear this noise and then you see it.
Well, you could be, depending on where your car was heading. I had several incidents where you're not seeing anything,
but
you're
hear
just
it.
Hearing it, and
yeah,
your car is,
yes,
vibrating like,
yeah,
crazy. And it's disconcerting.
It is, because then I started thinking, this is, you know, what people in wartime must have experienced.
I always wonder.
And it's nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just, you know, a few minutes here and there.
It freaked me out.
Yeah. I'm not kidding when I ask this. I always know that on the 4th of July, there's a handful of people who go through some very emotional times because the explosions and stuff bother them. I have to think that must go on this weekend, too.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there have been stories about it. Because just, listen, I'm not trained to hear that stuff, so I'm not used to it. But then I start thinking, I'm watching it. I'm trying to catch a picture if I'm at a stoplight or,
right,
something. I know my phone's in my hand, whatever. I'm at a stoplight. And they're too fast. I can't catch them. And I'm amazed and awestruck by it. But then it's like, these things could fall out of the air. And that makes me nervous. And they weave in and out of these buildings.
Well, and they're all flying so close in formation.
Yes.
One did click. Oh, here we go right now. There's
right. Yeah, five of them.
Yeah, because you see how closely they fly together.
Is one, in this instance, the lead plane was about three times the size of the other planes?
Sometimes those are like those refueling jets.
Oh, is that what
have.
That is?
And I used to cover an air show in Louisville, so I kind of,
yeah,
remember, but that might be a refueling plane.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, the precision is amazing.
It is.
The speed is
really
incredible.
Incredible.
But your heartbeat, and I know that's the goal of it, is to make your heartbeat really, really fast. But as I'm driving, I'm saying, this is a little nerve-wracking.
It is. And also, don't you just kind of, your heart swell with pride about how you feel for your country, that,
yes,
you are protected, and these military men and women do just,
oh,
amazing,
sure,
things, and they're so,
sure,
talented.
I just hope that everything goes according to plan.
Me too.
You don't,
well,
want any
unfortunately,
mishaps.
Unfortunately, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? Remember, we had an incident here,
yes,
where somebody,
yes,
parachuter died.
Yes, he bumped or hit,
yeah,
a building and,
yeah,
was unconscious,
yeah,
and was unable.
Yeah. I mean, accidents can happen.
Yeah.
Just in an air show, I believe it was Florida, so they just had wings clip. It was either of the Golden Knights. I think it might have been the Golden Knights that are here this weekend. They had a wing clip. I think everybody was okay. Nothing happened, but just
it's a game
a couple
of inches.
Weeks ago. Yes.
Do you remember the story years ago where they were doing an air show, not here in Chicago, somewhere else, and because of the way the maneuver is, it's one plane following another plane following another plane following. So the first plane crashes, and then the second plane, because they're following the maneuver, and it's a split second between the crash and reaction time, that plane crashes, and then the third plane
where
crashes.
Where was this?
I can't remember where it happened.
I kind of remember this.
I can't remember what city it was in.
I want to say it was in Europe.
Was it in Europe? I thought it was a U.S. situation. I could be wrong.
I could be wrong, too, but I felt like this
horrible
was in Europe. Horrible. And you're,
there's just no time to react.
It's almost like, you know, when you have when you're on the highway and, you know, you hit somebody's bumper and then somebody hits you.
Chain reaction.
Yes, domino effect. Yeah.
And then Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s plane crashed yesterday. I saw that. Oh, and
they
are
so lucky.
He retired because he was thinking about, you know, I'm getting older. My dad died in a crash. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden you start thinking about your mortality. And then this was in Tennessee.
Bristol.
Yes. Dale Earnhardt Jr., his wife and daughter were hospitalized. I just the first thing I see plane crash, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it's like everyone was able to get out of the plane.
You saw that plane, too,
right?
Two
pilots also, yeah.
Yes.
That plane, it doesn't make sense that people got out alive. It's just a mess.
So, I don't know. That was in Tennessee, and
they don't know. Because it went up in flames as soon as, you know, they landed, and then it just blew up in flames.
Really?
So, they don't know exactly what caused it at this point.
What was going on with that plane? I don't know if you saw the story, Kim. There was some plane, a Delta flight, where there was a mist that went all through the cabin of the plane. Did you see that?
No.
I saw a videotape of that this morning.
Smoke in the...
Yeah, just... Now, I didn't... There was no story attached. It was just a video. So I don't know all the specifics.
I haven't heard that.
But I was on a plane once that... I'm trying to remember what the situation was. They had to balance the temperature out, so they said to us... It's going to get a little misty in here for a few
minutes.
I've
had that too with the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't working properly.
So do you think, I don't know if that was what
Maybe.
Happened here, but you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you. The mist was so thick in the cabin of the plane, there was just no visibility whatsoever. Very scary.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And then that Russian plane flew over Chicago. I was telling you this. Did you hear about this?
A little
bit. The spy plane.
Yeah. Under an international agreement, rival nations are allowed to spy on each other.
That seems fair.
Which is exactly what happened Tuesday night. A Russian spy plane flew over Chicago. This is what I was telling you about. The Russian plane, a Tupolev jet, departed Dayton, Ohio, and flew to Great Falls, Montana, likely collecting reconnaissance along the way, according to WGN.
Hmm.
It's unclear exactly why the Russians decided to fly over Chicago, specifically. An aviation expert told WGN that the flight path of the Tupolev suggests spying may not have been the primary motivator. It may have just been avoiding storms. And U.S. specialists on board will monitor the use of surveillance equipment and compliance with the provisions of the agreement. So you can fly over, but then we get a chance to check your captain's log.
I didn't know such a thing even existed.
I didn't either.
Who knew spies work together?
It's the Treaty on Open Skies. That's what it is. And under this Treaty on Open Skies, member nations are allowed to conduct prearranged aerial surveillance over each other's territories to give members the chance to confirm that other members are abiding by military treaties.
It kind of makes sense, I guess.
It went into effect in 2002. Allowing its 34 member nations to conduct the aerial surveillance missions with unarmed planes.
Yeah.
The other member nations include Canada, Germany, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, and the UK.
You're heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Right? The usual gang
is
of suspects.
What are they called? Not the March Madness. What is the Big Seven? What do they call that?
Original Six?
No, that's hockey. No. I think it's in basketball. No.
The Big Ten?
Yeah.
Oh, the Big Ten. Yep.
Is it 1, 2, 3?
So they have to, you said it's predetermined, so they have to give them kind of a flight plan and say, we'll go from here to here to here. Interesting.
Russia's first mission in 2019 came on March 28th and 29th. When they flew a Tu-154M plane equipped with electro-optical imaging systems over Area 51 and other key sites in California and Nevada.
Yeah.
I'd like to see their captain's log and see what they saw at Area 51.
Do the Russians know we've got the air and water show this week? Because if they're throwing a spy plane at us, it's going to be very disconcerting to them.
That's interesting, and I would like to know what, like, the air traffic controllers get. Like,
I'm sure it's not their favorite weekend of the year.
Right.
No, but I mean, when the Russian plane is coming in, like, that would be a weird correspondence. Like, breaker one, I don't know how to do a Russian accent. You're part Russian, aren't you?
You got it. You nailed it. That was fair. Yeah, is it still this way, Kim? I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but for a while during the Air and Water Show, when they were getting in the planes, it didn't happen at O'Hare or Midway. They would almost always farm them to Indiana.
They come from Indiana, Gary, or even Ottawa, I think. Like, Kevin Powell just did a jump.
I know he did.
And
wow.
He did it in Ottawa.
Oh, Ottawa, Illinois.
Illinois. So, you know, not... Those things can get here very quickly that they don't have to be in an airport nearby.
Is it because there's so much commercial traffic at Midway at O'Hare, they don't want to mess that up?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And, well, they'd mess it up, and I just think there's more danger, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These guys just haul ass. Yeah. It's unbelievable how fast these go.
Big time.
A stealth bomber could be, you know, in a state in the out west and be here in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Nothing but respect to Kevin Powell, because if offered that chance to me, I would have to say a very fast no thank you.
It looked really cool. I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
And did he came out of the plane, right?
Or did he?
Yeah, he jumped out of the plane.
He jumped with the Golden Knights tandem style.
Wow.
Yeah.
He said he got down on the ground and he said, "Can I do this again?" He loved
it.
He's young.
Wow.
Yeah, he loved it.
I've spent my whole life trying to keep myself from falling out of a plane. Right. Why would I start now?
Well, when I went in a hot air balloon, I was so scared, and I was like, "Oh, I got to get out!
I've done
it was
that
the baskets
one.
Going up, and then
you loved
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is not a hot air balloon.
No, I know.
There's a lot of speed involved with this.
Yeah.
And wow, nothing but respect for him doing it.
I know,
but I know I couldn't.
You can see the video at WGNRadio.com. He is one happy camper.
Yeah. Wow, good for him.
Again, he's young.
One happy jumper, I should say.
Right. Kim, you will not be here on Monday or Tuesday.
I will not.
I'll be back on Wednesday.
Yes.
All right. Have a happy, safe trip.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in a couple days. Wendy and I will turn things off next. Stick around. It's Phil and Wendy. Turn off any.
Let it cool down.
If you have stuff in the area you need turned off, bring it up to the studio. We'll turn it off for you. No charge. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Jasmine's already started the weekend, and I don't blame
her. Who can blame her? Who can blame her?
I started the weekend at 10:01 today. I don't know if you noticed.
That's fast.
It's 10:01 somewhere.
It always is, somehow. Can I thank all the guests we had, Wendy?
Please
it was
do.
National Treasure Day. We had National Treasure comedian Vince Maranto on. We had National Treasure, or local treasure, I should say, for both. Jim Peter. Well, he's a national treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
International.
Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. So we'll come back on Monday.
Yep, we will.
All I know for sure is Eric Zorn will be here. I don't know anything beyond that. Chaz, is there more on Monday
enough?
Yeah, that's plenty. That's too much. Because then if you do too much, then people expect that every day. You're not going to get that from us every day.
No, that's how we roll.
Yeah.
I hate when people say that. I'm going to take that back.
So we will see you on Monday. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.